Welcome to the Darkwater Gospel. Author and filmmaker Douglas Stewart McDaniel hosts this poignant memoir that begins in the Appalachian Hills of East Tennessee. In a spiritual journey that spans over 35 years, this anthology of bittersweet and funny stories along the roads and highways of Appalachia unlocks dark family secrets, underscoring the power of love, luck, magic, and friendship necessary to master the art of fearlessness.
Friday, November 13th, 2020. What a year for all of us. I was quietly celebrating the announcement that our corporate proposal team had just won another large multi-billion dollar bid, a project we had all worked on for months, with long hours, early days, and late nights. I had just enjoyed a celebratory Microsoft Teams call across multiple time zones with my colleagues around noon. It was a happy hour at 5 p.m. London time, where much of my team was based. It was turning out to be a very good day. I had been the author of several sections, and about 30 of our team of engineers, financial analysts, managers, writers, and designers were so glad to have this brief opportunity to laugh and smile and share pints of Guinness from our respective locations, and especially to see each other's faces in the middle of this pandemic. Later that day, I sipped a glass of wine alone in a quiet corner at Garibaldi's in Savannah, Georgia, toasting my virtual team when I got a Facebook alert from Barry Giesling. Barry had posted a meme on Facebook about grief, and it went straight to my heart. Written by Jamie Anderson, the young modern Doctor Who novelist and the son of legendary British TV and film producer Gerry Anderson, it read, "Grief, I've learned, is really just love. It's all the love you want to give, but cannot. All of that unspent love gathers in the corner of your eyes, the lump in your throat, and in the hollow part of your chest. Grief is just love with no place to go." I left a one-word comment. "Oof," I wrote. Barry replied quickly. "Are you still in the United States?" he asked, knowing I was headed soon for Saudi Arabia. "Let me know if Dave asked you about helping him write the book he wanted to write. Buzzsaw was the selected title." "I know nothing," I replied cheerfully, although I had just met my friend, Dave Giesling, and Barry's son, who was also 53 like me. We had met just 2 weeks earlier up in Marietta, Georgia, on my way back from seeing my daughter Jolene up in Knoxville. Dave and I did discuss our memoirs and writing in a three-hour conversation we had at FEI Group, his corporate headquarters just outside of Atlanta. He didn't mention a book title, not yet. We did talk at length about story structure and vignetting scenes in our podcasts and reminisced about how we had met just 2 years earlier at Talking Rock near Ellijay, Georgia. About 2 years ago, I was headed down from Knoxville to a hotel in Atlanta for a weekend getaway to process a great deal of overwhelming grief myself. Friday, I had taken back roads down US 411, a beautiful drive through some of the more remote parts of North Georgia. Now headed back to Knoxville on Sunday morning, I looked again at those routes on my phone. I panned across the map and zoomed in a little. I saw this place, this town, I guess, and the town's name spoke to me, and I knew I had to go there. After some breakfast, I gassed the car up and hit the road, headed for Talking Rock, a town of about 6 or 8 buildings located in Pickens County in North Georgia, population about 40. A well-appointed antique shop is situated in a lovely historic two-story home with a small mercantile store situated nearby. It was Sunday, and while very quiet, the shops were open and cordial. An old train car rested on a short stub of railroad track with the faded name of the town emblazoned on the side, Talking Rock. As I exited the antique shop, I zeroed in on an old vacant Depression-era hotel. It was for sale. It wasn't fancy. I walked around the building, imagining what this place could be. Not just a bed and breakfast, but perhaps a film production center, an Airbnb, and a recording studio. A place to gather and to tell stories. It was priced at only $199,000 and probably had 10,000 square feet, with another small warehouse, an old dilapidated barn that could probably be rebuilt from the inside out and turned into something productive. I've always been a dreamer, and the building spoke to me. It wasn't situated on a particularly nice or ample piece of property, but I could see some potential. I walked around and I took a few pictures with my phone, including a shot of the real estate sign so I could call the realtor later. I circled again and then crossed the street to take some pictures of the old train car. I turned and started to walk back around to the front as a white four-door Jeep suddenly stopped in front of the building. There were two guys in it, and they were staring at me. Maybe they were realtors, or maybe just looking at the sign, as I had been. I wasn't really sure. As I walked across the street, still maybe 25 yards from their vehicle, the man in the driver's seat rolled down his window, looking at me quizzically. "What's going on? Is everything okay?" Such an odd question. Did I really look that bad? That frantic or manic? Yeah, I probably did. I kind of smiled and shrugged, circling the car. The older man on the passenger side rolled down his window, smiling warmly. "Well," I said, "it's been a tough year, and I just went down to Atlanta for the weekend to try and clear my head." "We're from Marietta, just up here looking at property." Within minutes, I don't know why, out it flowed. I broke down and described my now broken marriage and how much I had been through and just how tough the divorce had been on me, on Faith, and on my daughter Jolene, and how much I was grieving. I described how angry I was because I couldn't often express how I felt because of how much my 19-year-old daughter needed me, and also because of my ex and her own fragility. I struggled for the words, recognizing how unhealthy it is to internalize so much, but also feeling bad at my own weakness in oversharing. My 24-year marriage to Faith was now over quite painfully, and I was not in a good state of mind. Yes, I was grieving, but I was grieving about more than just the marriage. My mentally ill, abusive father, John McDaniel, had just passed away the winter before, as had my dear friend and co-author, Becky French Brewer. I left out the part about the gun I had brought with me on the trip, my father's 9mm Glock that I had just cleaned and oiled. But as I did describe the situation about my divorce, the older man started laughing. "I'm Doug. Nice to meet you," I added, trying to cut his laugh. "Barry," the older man said, nodding at the driver. "My son, Dave." I looked at this laughing man so strangely. Dave started grinning too. "What's so funny, guys?" Barry then proceeded to describe what a painful divorce Dave had been going through for years. Dave explained in much greater detail his own story about how he and his ex's first husband, a man he once disliked and disliked him, had joined forces and were now co-parenting their kids and stepkids together. We talked for maybe 15 minutes and shared much of our pain and our grief. It was funny. It was raw, shared tragedy. It got funnier and I broke into a weak smile of my own. And then Dave stared at me again, hard. That's not all, is it? No, I said, it's not. I guess it started in January. We had gotten a cabin in the Smokies. About 3 a.m., my son, Jacob at the time, crawled into bed between me and his mom and whispered into my ear that he thought he might be trans. We got up quietly, went downstairs and sat in front of the fire. I held his hand and hugged him until morning and told him that everything would be okay. And as I told Barry and Dave about my son, Barry again started laughing hilariously. What the actual hell? I'm telling these two random strangers in the hills of North Georgia about my trans kid not knowing if somebody's going to beat the hell out of me, or worse. Dave quickly interrupts Barry's laughter, sharing that he's just gone through the same thing with his stepson, now stepdaughter, Willow. What about that? We realized we had so much more to talk about and grabbed our phones to look for a place where we could eat and talk. Talking Rock is indeed a strange place. Despite the small downtown area, there are some summer homes and cabins and year-round places dotted throughout the rather large rural area. But commercial establishments are few and far between, and we ended up at a cafe that literally served no food, just some soft drinks and crackers. We sat down. You know, Talking Rock's not real, Doug. There is no rock. Dave smiled as we ordered bottles of water, candy bars, and some prepackaged ice cream. The rock is a fake as far as I can tell, but from my rough Googling, it was named for an Indian gathering place somewhere near the town. There's got to be something magical in that, isn't there? Barry winked. Not a bad place for stories, eh? So what about your kid? Well, in March or April, I checked back in on him and asked the hard question. Hey, how are we doing on this trans thing? I continued, uncertain of my word choices. Oh, no, Dad, I'm good. I'm fine. Thanks. Well, okay, you let me know if you need anything, I told him. He wouldn't share the news with his mom for several more months. I continued sharing with the guys that by May, when we were beginning shooting a feature-length film with my son, things had indeed changed. The night before one of our biggest shoot days, Jacob finally broke down and embraced who he knows he is and wants to become. And so I'm proud to say that my son Jacob is now my daughter, Jolene. And that took a long time to figure out for both of us. For over 3 hours, Barry, Dave, and I shared our stories and talked about how proud we were of our children and how much we love them. So much of the pain of the past year, ending my marriage, the death of my abusive father, losing a son and gaining a daughter, and the natural grief that becomes part of our process of acceptance and of love and of kindness. These were the things that poured from me. It felt like one of those hard summer rains that washed the soil away from hardy tomato plants, the fruits still ripening in the sun, but the roots now exposed. It felt so refreshing in the late afternoon Georgia sun. And as Barry, Dave, and I parted ways and I finished the drive back to Knoxville, I knew that the universe had spoken to me at Talking Rock. My hope and my belief in magic and luck and love was slowly being restored. Back at my restaurant in Savannah just this last Friday, November 13th, my phone buzzed. It was Barry. You don't know, do you, Doug? Know what, Barry? I want to know you're okay, Doug. My son's gone. Dave's dead. Now just stay with me here, okay? It's gonna be okay. Barry was more worried about my mental health in that moment. He knew me all too well. I reassured him that I would be okay, if for no one else but his son, Dave. Dave was a man of extraordinary talent. Dave's friend and podcast producer, Sean Murray, would write in a Facebook tribute. He was an accomplished public speaker, educator, and an expert marksman. Personal fitness was a priority, and he was an accomplished author of numerous publications and books. Dave was a lover of all things related to space, and collecting meteorites was his passion. His collection, Falling Rocks, is one of the largest and most impressive collections in private hands. Dave was an inspirational leader, mentor to many, and loved by all. Dave met his life partner, Kasia, at a coffee shop, and they shared 6+ years of happiness together. Raised in a blended family, they enjoyed sharing precious moments and adventures together with family and friends. Family was most important to Dave, and he considered his friends to be a part of his family. He was an incredible father, son, brother, uncle, partner, and friend. He was a father figure to many, and he will be deeply missed. His life, influence, and legacy will forever remain in the lives of all who knew him, and we will all cherish his memories as we gaze to the heavens. Such a lovely tribute. Dave also helped me remember how to gaze toward the heavens. He had shared his own version of our Talking Rock story with his entire team at FEI Group, something I was reminded of by several of his friends when I visited him at the office a few weeks back. I'd help him develop his podcast, Meteorite, earlier this year, a podcast dedicated to pragmatic positivity. There's a link on this podcast to Dave's final podcast, titled Eraser, in the description. In that episode, the question Dave asks of this teacher who was having a really bad day, who had thrown an eraser at his class, is exactly the same question he had asked me at Talking Rock. What's going on? Is everything okay? Never forget to ask those in your life such a remarkably simple question. Dave did this for countless people in his life, including me. Dave self-described his podcast as not-so-random thoughts from a grateful mind and soul, hopefully with a small dose of pragmatically positive perspective and prognostication that may or may not be of use to somewhere else in the universe. Dave would close each of his podcast episodes with the following, which I'm going to share with you now. I'm big on gratitude, so thank you for listening, he would say. I'm big on latitude, so never stop contemplating, prognosticating, learning, and growing. I'm big on attitude, so maintain a pragmatically positive perspective, and today is a great day to be alive. Seize it. Will do, sir. Godspeed.
Into a suit. When you put on your tie, you wave your goodbyes to dirt on your face.
Say goodbye.
Dig in the earth.
Goodbye.
Your knees in. Out of the door and down to the street, hailing a cab.
Pops you up
somewhere deep in your thoughts are the things you have lost,
you up,
but you won't forget.
Say goodbye.
No matter how you try. You can't remember the line. The sun beats down over the yard. Everything dries out sometimes.
Lost in your love.
Baby, I know it gets hard. When you can't remember the line, when the sun beats down over the yard, but everything dries out sometimes.
When you grow old, your work is through, it's time to go home. Will you shed a tear, one for each missing year, while you were away? Say goodbye. One for each bill you paid. Goodbye. One for every penny saved. I know it gets hard when you can't remember the lie. The sun beats down over the yard. Everything dries out sometimes. I know it gets hard.
Thanks for tuning in. The Darkwater Gospel is written and hosted by author and filmmaker Douglas Stewart McDaniel. It's produced by Defiance Media Group, Savannah, Georgia. Music is by Pitchwire. To become a sponsor of this podcast, please visit defiancemediagroup.com.